Yes, Father, we just continue in prayer. Thank you for that call upon you. We confess and profess that we are constantly in need of you. We are dependent upon you. Lord, we want that heavenly manna to fall upon us, that heavenly rain, Lord, as it were. We've experienced so much acid rain and things that don't prosper and things that don't feed our souls, Lord. We're living in a fallen world, and we just ask for a touch from heaven again today. I ask it upon my own heart, Lord, each one of us, we could be encouraged, we could be edified. The body of Christ we built up, and Satan's kingdom would just suffer some damage again today as we come together corporately to seek your face and to encourage one another. Bless each soul that is here. Bless those that can't be here. I pray wherever your people are gathered today that your spirit would prevail upon the hearts of men and women, that many more would turn to you in these last days upon this earth. Help us to be faithful, Lord, in hearing your call and walking with you and loving you and loving each other. We have a little bit of time left, it seems, on this earth, and we want to lay down our lives as an offering to you, Lord, for you are worthy. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the desire you put in our hearts to worship and to seek your face. Lord, that comes from you, and we want to honor you for that. So bless us now. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, brother, for those songs. Very encouraging. To my heart, refreshing. Just our dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon him. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for inviting me, Brother Mark. Much rather sit there and listen to you, but I guess the tables are turned today a bit. So I want to be faithful. I want to serve the Lord in this capacity. It's a privilege to share God's word, but it's also a responsibility, a great responsibility, to keep ourselves low, that it's not our word, not myself coming through, but it's truly what the Lord wants to speak to our hearts and our lives. Yeah, well, the book is full. What do you share? Remember many years ago when we were in Ghana, Brother Denny was there one time on just checking up on this different stations, and we were going through a devotional every morning just with the teachers there, the native teachers, and I think we're going through a course of like character training, and I just suggested maybe he wants to do that this morning, and he just the book is full, and we don't need a whole lot of suggestions. But I think y'all, as if you share the word occasionally, you know how it is. You want to seek God's face, and different things come to your mind. What I'd like to share about today was on my heart a while, especially about a week ago or so, talking with someone kind of inspired. They just made me think about these things. And I went back, and coming across the ridge this morning, my grandfather just lived down the road here. I have a lot of Freundschaft down here. And a lot of memories going back to Grandpa's place and some of the things he experienced in his life, maybe not all so good, and coming to freedom and my own heart, my own life. Maybe I'll talk about that a bit today. But really appreciate the opening. I just like to kind of go on from there. Repentance, I think, is so needful. It's laid a good foundation, brother. Just kind of like go on from there, and repentance is basically just giving up, changing our thought process to match the Lord's thought processes, what he thinks of us and how he thinks. That's repentance, turning around. And repentance is that 1,800-ton bull that you just lead around. It has all the potential to turn around and harm you, but that reflects beautiful what was shared. And so, versus that heifer that ended up in the ditch. But today I'd like to talk about, may I say, those tame ones that have gone through repentance and have really experienced, have a heart to serve the Lord. But sometimes they might feel like they're in the ditch. I don't know what all you face in your Christian life. Well, I know you're in the same race that I am, all of us are. And so I find it in the Christian experience, there's among the real victorious ones, there are often, I see, and this is not set in stone, but there's two classes of Christians that I feel have a lack. And one, of course, we hear about this, and I appreciate it, and I think we need to keep warning us and lifting this up, the thought of you could become a Christian, you do as you please, and afterward you've been saved, and now you got a ticket for heaven, and it's a happy-go-lucky life after this. That's one lack. Those that just lack the simple, practical obedience of everyday living, fleshing it out. Like it says in James 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That's one lack. But the other group of that I see that I've experienced, and I think we have them amongst us different times, and this is what we're talking with this young couple just not long ago, made me think about this a little bit deeper way. And though it's those that just simply need to learn after they have repented that with a true heart, they just need to learn to trust God, rest in Christ, and cease from their anxious striving. I don't know, can you identify with that? Maybe you truly have that heart of that tame bull, but sometimes you feel like I'm the ditch. They're going to butcher me, you know. But I think we're honest, a lot of us, sometimes we go through that. We feel like that. And it probably because we sometimes get sidetracked. The Bible says, for us as believers, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So I think that's where faith comes in. It's not, once we truly understand this principle, it's not like Christian life is not made up of all the things I can't do. You can't do that. Joseph being tempted, well, I can't do that because I just can't do it, you know. But there's something greater. Every temptation that a young person, an older person, every temptation that I resist, it's not just because I can't do it. But yeah, that's part of it. But more than that, God has promised something much more better than that. Faith looks at something much more better, a higher blessing than anything that I can't do down here. That's pleasing for just now. So that's part of faith also, looking at the seen, things which are not seen. So sometimes I think about this term, the not seens. I think we should be called the not seens. Not the Nazis, but the not seens. 1 Peter 1:8 also has that thought a bit. And this helped me. I remember years ago as a young Christian, and keeps blessing me. 1 Peter 1:8 says, in whom having not seen, here's that not seen, ye love. Talking about Jesus. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your, or the completion, or the perfection of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So that's truly, that's what, if we're going to have a healthy Christian walk, we need to get this principle of looking at the not seen. That's what motivates us. That's what we're looking at. Well, look at something you can't see, but that's what the Christian does. I think you understand that. Looking at his promises. I like, in light of this, it's kind of like faith. I remember years ago, growing up, I was probably in my teens, we were in the same church, in the New Order Amish Church, and there's a young boy there, very flexible. He was very athletic, flexible, and he could do a lot of stunts, and very good-natured boy. I always enjoyed being around him. I still do like to talk with him. But he introduced some of us boys to this, maybe you've done it here already, or some of you know it, not here, hopefully not, but he said kind of the exercise of just letting go. If you go on your knees like this, and I never believed him until I did it, and you go, you just lean way back, and just let yourself fall forward. If you just keep your, I can't do it anymore, but just kind of, your torso is the shape of a rocking chair, and when you let yourself fall just like this with your hands behind your back, you will not smash your nose against the floor. And I didn't believe him till I did it. It's true. But there's a point you have to let go, Jason. Let go, release yourself, and you'll just kind of rock. But if you stiffen up a bit, then we'll look out nose and chin, and you kind of panic unless your hand's quick enough to get you. You try it sometime. Well, some of your older ones, no, don't. But you young men, it's true. And it works best on a hard floor, not a soft, cushiony bed, just on a hard floor. We did that. I did it numerous times then. You just be on your knees and lean way back like that. But you kind of had to just mind over matter or faith over logic. You won't smash your nose or your chin. You won't. So I wonder if we'll have some experiments among the young boys here soon. But that's kind of the picture of this letting go. That's a bit of what faith is. It's stepping into the unseen, the not seen. Taking God at his word. So here a while ago, it might be a half a year ago, one of my cousins, he shared a scripture. And it was encouraging to me. And I'm going to do that this morning. Some similar scriptures, and one of the main ones that he was on the, I guess, on the heel of him sitting with some other couples and working with other couples through issues, like counseling, if you will, just helping, trying to see life from God's perspective. He found out if people would truly just see who they are in Christ Jesus, would take care of a lot of things. Now that's kind of just a broad statement. But could we all turn to the first chapter in Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1. It's such a rich chapter. And I want to talk especially to us, maybe that have struggled, who am I in Christ? Is it really for me? It's for everyone else, but, almost too good to be true. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what the Lord hath prepared for those, nor has it entered into the heart of man, what the Lord hath prepared for those who love him. And that's reality. Those are the things that we need to clamp onto, lock our faith onto, the promises of God. Those things are true. We read them so many times, and just really want this to become personalized in my heart, in your heart, in life. So my prayer would be that just maybe there's a young one that's had that journey, started the journey of repentance, but sometimes they struggle. Who am I in Christ? Am I really a Christian? Am I pleasing to God? And I got to do this and got to do that, and maybe then I'll be accepted. Let's just read the first 14 verses here in Ephesians 1. And I've been reading this occasionally. Just read it again and again. I wonder how our Christian walk experience would change if we would all read this once a day for 3 months, for 6 months, once. This is just a passage. This is who I am? No. Yes, it is who I am in Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Right here I already see faith and confidence that Paul had by the will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, the in Christ Jesus is more important than the at Ephesus. The in is much more important. But Ephesus, just a thought about that. Ephesus, I believe, I don't know how many years after Paul wrote this and how many years later that John actually wrote that Jesus addressed the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. It doesn't seem very long that church pretty well disintegrated. It was kind of gone. And it's very sad. Part of it could be they lost, of course, Jesus said you lost your first love. They lost sight of who Jesus is and who they are in Christ. And other loves stole their heart. And I just a side note, one of my Bibles I was studying, I just said it's close to about 50 miles south of Smyrna on the, I forget which the mouth of which river that, of the Aegean Sea there. But now it says the ruins have all been covered, and it's just a miserable little Turkish village sitting on top of these ruins. I don't know, Matt might know, but it's just it's very sad what happened. Let's read this, what they actually had in Christ and how they lost that. Anyhow, verse 2 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So here he says all spiritual. The word all means completion, the perfection, whatever is available. Then it kind of breaks them down, what all these blessings are in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And that phrase will come forth three times in this short passage, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Just like to use that phrase as the title. Accepted. Accepted in the beloved. Do you feel accepted in the beloved? That word beloved, that was referred to Jesus as from his Father when he was baptized. We can read it in a couple of the Gospels. And Peter later refers to it in 2 Peter about being in the Holy Mount with the Lord Jesus. And this voice came again, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this word accepted, beloved, or this word beloved means to grace, endue with special honor, make accepted. It's God's smile shining on your life and my life, highly favored. And even though we are Christians at times, sometimes, do we really feel that? God's smiling, shining face upon me? Or is there just kind of I'm not quite sure if he's pleased with me or not. Can't quite ever measure up. Just trying and just striving, just an unrest in my heart. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Excuse me. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I think that's as far as we'll read. That the last two verses there talk about Acts 19, when Paul passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus, and then he found certain believers, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" They said, "We never heard of anything like that." They were just knew of John's baptism of repentance, which was needful to get started, like we heard this morning. And then they were baptized. I think Paul baptized them again, or they were baptized. Did Paul do that? Or he was baptized, and then Paul laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. It says they prophesied, spake with tongues, and so forth. But that's what he's talking about there. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment. Whenever you buy a property, they ask for earnest money for a down payment. You just give maybe 10%, it sometimes varies a bit. And then at the completion, when all the title search is done and the title is delivered, then the rest of the money is due there. So we have that upon our lives as Christians, as that tame bull, if you will. There's been money paid down for him, not the heifer in the ditch, no. Money has been paid. The price of blood was shed. So when Jesus comes, then there's completion of that. And we have our new body. Well, that's the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Well, yeah, I guess some of the thoughts I had recently, just talking with a young couple, a young married couple, just recent talk with them. And occasionally I talk with him, he comes and just has questions about the Christian life and is very teachable. And no, the Lord did a work in his heart. But he just came and just asked, He said, "Elson, sometimes I just feel like I'm faking it. How do we know we're faking it? Or am I really a Christian?" And just those thoughts. Can you identify? Any of you ever identify? Maybe young Christians. Of course, the Bible also says we should prove ourselves to make sure we are in the faith. We want to do that. But today, take this with a grain of salt. I know there's the other camp where you just do as you please and it's an easy believism. I know that's out there, and we're not defending that. We need that warning. But my heart today is those that truly have a heart. It might be especially young ones, but some of those older ones face this too, that have started a walk with the Lord, and so occasionally they still fall. But their heart is ready to please the Lord, and they want to follow. They want to be led. But they have all these voices they hear. You're not good. So I asked him, his wife had the similar experience. They both come from an ultra-conservative background, growing experience. Some from some hard places, too, in their home life. And so I said, how does your wife feel? What does she experience? She says, since we started this journey now, and after a while, she just feels worthless. I just feel worthless. So we want to do some more talking a bit in my spirit, and what I know other brothers talking with him also, that he is on the right road. They truly have started. But it's just that Satan's business is to make the unbeliever feel he's okay, and the believer trying to get him to doubt, get him off the reality of what we just read, who he is in Christ. Nothing rather than the devil would do is take you from your heavenly seat with Christ and bring you down here where he can level at you and me. And the reason I guess I could identify with this young man, when I was a young Christian, I remember I going through this of doubts and discouragement, and is it really for me? It's for other people, and I mess up here, and I got to do, you know, couple weeks of good living kind of went away, faded away a bit, that feeling. Yeah. Can you identify with that at all? I struggle with that for a while. And some never do, but I talk with others that do occasionally, or have. But it took, I remember one, I was pretty young, and well, finally my oldest sister discovered that I'm really struggling, and she kind of probably read us, the rest of us, better than maybe my parents even. But I remember that evening that, yeah, she went down to my parents and said, hey, this boy needs help. He's at the end of his rope. But, yeah, I thank the Lord that he helped me. If there's a young person here that struggles with that or feels that I'm just worthless, is God real? Are things real? I can testify today that things are real. It's true. It's worth the fight. It's worth hanging in there. It's worth claiming the promises and accepting these promises. Sometimes, depending where we're from, our family experience, we just need to be taught, and we need to open our hearts to be loved. Some of us, it may be hard to accept love. Maybe that doesn't make sense to you, but I'm just listening to some struggles that some people have shared, and especially this couple just not long ago. It seemed to be hard for them to grasp that the Lord, this is truly for me. I can personalize it. It's almost too good to be true. And also, I guess, just the last couple years, caring for some little ones in our home through foster programs, so forth. I know it's become pretty obvious to us that hurting ones need a safe place to be, a place of security. And the thought is sometimes, you know, it's some that have been adopted, if you will, have ongoing struggles, and it's true. But have we not all been adopted into God's family? Sometimes we agree. Sometimes people that have been adopted by a perfect Heavenly Father still have struggles. So my desire would be that we just see this scripture. We just bless our heart. It could just put us at rest. If we are not living in sin. Now, if someone is living in sin, that's a different story. But these few people I talked with recently, actually, and we go, well, what kind of sins are you hiding? You know, we just were very open. Are you hiding some sin, some known sin? No, they just really, not that they know of. They've been seeking the Lord. So, well, you can just put that aside as condemnation from the devil. If you know you've started with the Lord and you want to walk with the Lord, your heart is right to be led by like that tame one. That's voices of the enemy condemning. He will always condemn. He will accuse the brethren. That's his description, an accuser of the brothers. Not accuser of the sinners, but of the brothers, you and I, that are walking with the Lord. So before we're too hard on people that have been adopted in a physical family, let's just take a look at our own lives. Let's be very sensitive. As a call to the mature ones, the Christians, let's be very sensitive to the young ones coming on in Christ, that they would feel that acceptance, that they know what it is to be accepted in the Beloved. Do they actually feel that? They have a perfect Heavenly Father. So if we would ask the question, well, what's the opposite? Let's just take some words. What's the opposite of accepted, feeling accepted? Before we do that, I think actually, you know, some people change church, just go from here to there because they want more liberty. I know that's a reality. But I think often people are just trying to find acceptance, a place to belong. I know some people have said they feel lonely in a crowd. Remember some years ago, a missionary that came back, he was speaking one of our churches, and he said that he shared out of Acts 2. They were all together and had that communion, as it says. They shared everything and how the early... He went through things of the early church, and he just asked us, what do you think are we lacking the most, what the early church had? What are we lacking most in our days? And different thoughts came on about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and breaking of bread and more, you know, communion and things like that. And we guessed everything except the one he was after, and that was fellowship. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Then it lists other things. He said his experience, his observation, being gone for years, coming back, and kind of getting the temperature where people are at. Maybe might have more people, more fellowships, but we're lacking fellowships. We have more fellowships, but lacking true fellowship. I never forgot that. Accepted in the Beloved. So, yeah, any words come to your mind when you think of the opposite? What's the opposite of feeling accepted? Any? Brother Mark? That's the first one that came to my mind. Rejection. Anything else? Jared?
Inferior.
Yes. And there's probably others. Maybe someone else has a word. Yes.
Alone.
Yes, good. That's very true, feeling alone. What about, where's the word refugee come from? One of those R-E words, refugee. They've been rejected somewhere. They're being chased out. They don't have a place. They don't belong. Refugee is someone that doesn't belong. Yeah.
Condemned.
Condemned, yes. If you refuse someone or refuse, goes the refuse truck. That has the same thought there. Okay, well, that gives us an idea of what it is not. Accepted is not this. When I thought about this, what is the opposite? Rejection. I'm worthless. Some of those statements I heard, I just don't feel like I measure up. My wife just feels worthless. And yet, they just started the journey with Christ some time ago. Do you ever watch little children play? When they're playing, all of a sudden a few decide, hey, let's hide from him. Let's hide from her. You ever notice that? That ever happened? Do you like that? It might be kind of fun. Maybe if it's an agreed-on game, like a true hide-and-seek game, that's one thing. But I've seen it when they've been happily playing, all of a sudden a few kind of pair off, let's hide from him. And off they go, and what goes to that little heart that's not included? I think our hearts should hurt for that little one. Because I went through that. I remember a time we were, I don't know how old I was, I could have been 12, 13, and some of that was happening in a barn somewhere, and I was the one that they were hiding from. It did not feel good. I did not feel this, but I felt this. Yeah, children do that at times. Do adults ever do that? Probably not. Hopefully not. But maybe we do more than we realize. I'm so glad our Heavenly Father does not. We can learn a lot from Him. But if we have that feeling of rejection, or we think we do, or we think we have been rejected, I'm worthless, I'm a refugee, I don't fit in, I'm alone, I'm condemned, I'm inferior. Remember that Jesus, Isaiah 53 says He was despised and rejected of men. He took care of all that. We don't have to carry any of that. Even though we are rejected in a physical way or emotionally, if we truly see what Jesus has done for us, we are resting in Him. We don't have to dwell on this at all. We don't need a lot of self-help, lift yourself up programs. Be resting in Christ. That's my heart, that we learn how to rest in Christ. No matter what the feelings are telling you, sometimes I think, like for myself, I had to just, may I say, just hang those feelings. Just go hang them. The Lord wants to resurrect them at His own good time. He can, whatever I need. But if we allow the feelings to be ahead of kind of leading us on, not a good safe guide. I think the feelings might have their place in their time, but they should not be. It's from this platform of resting in Jesus is where the Christian lives off. That's where he bases his whole life off. He shouldn't be living down here and hoping, depending what I do, I can attain this acceptance. But no, we have to see we are there already in heavenly places. We're above that. We're not down there trying to reach it, trying to grab it, trying to get a hold of it. We have to look at the things which are not seen and just take this word for what it says. The Statue of Liberty, I thought it was somewhat of a good picture. In some ways, the analogy breaks down. It was built, I think, in 1884 as a gift from the people of France to the U.S. I think, what was his name? Frederick August Bartholdi, something like that. Bartholdi was the sculptor who made that. And I think by the late 1800s and the 1920s, like a couple million people have passed through that, coming, seeking acceptance, seeking a safe place, seeking security, seeking a refuge. I think a total of like 12 million people have immigrated from other lands. And why was it such an attraction? Why was America such an attraction? Because it I believe they opened the doors to the hurting, to those that were rejected, in a large sense. And here is what of course, that statue stands there with right hand, he has a torch. Left hand, I think, is a tablet of the date of independence. And on their feet lay some broken chains, all symbols of the hard places where you're coming from. The chains have been broken. There's a new beginning. You've come into a place of acceptance, a land of belonging, a land of opportunity, a land of freedom, a land of rest. And I think a lady by the name of Emma Lazarus wrote this, penned these words. I think they're in Boston, the pedestal there of the statue. This is what she wrote. Now just listen carefully to these words. They're not scripture, but she's referring to the hard places you're coming from, the oppression, the tyranny. And she's kind of comparing the two lands here. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea wash, sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand, glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that Twin Cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she, with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And like I said, like more than 12 million people saw that torch, and they came to a land of freedom. And it's actually a lot of those people that came build the backbone of this country from Europe and Asia, of course, and Africa. But even with all that, the picture we get of acceptance here is still a far cry from our Heavenly Father and the kingdom of God, because even with all of that, there's a small percentage that didn't make it in. Everyone had to go through screening, and if someone was, I think like 2% were rejected, turned back. And I thought it was kind of sad, because even the reasons often were some dangers, maybe criminals, sometimes it's older people that they felt were a burden to society instead of a help. But even with all that fancy speech, you still see through some of the cracks there. It was not ideal, all ideal. But many people, most came in, but there's still some partiality there. It's very unlike here in Ephesians 1, what we read. In John 36:37, Jesus said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Much different than the Statue of Liberty. And I know we would all feel this nation is not what it used to be back then when it was introduced here to this land. Now, I just like to go through to this passage again a bit. There's so much we could probably preach a sermon on every one of these verses here. But here's a few things. Maybe you have more. Just a list of things that I saw here. Like we read here in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then he kind of breaks them up or shares the different aspects. I'm just going to write down a few that I saw here. Well, first we have all spiritual blessings. We're running out of room, but the first one I wrote down, we've been chosen. You ever notice God's choice? There are a few scriptures. You read that God hath not God chosen. One is in 1 Corinthians. God has not chosen the mighty, the strong, the rich. God has chosen the poor. James 2, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? Make a study of that sometime, of God's choice. Very interesting. We've been predestinated. This is not unconditional we're talking about. We've been adopted, according to Ephesians 1. And we've been accepted. We have redemption. We've been redeemed. We have forgiveness. And if you follow along, you'll see these I might have wrote that wrong. We have wisdom. He reveals his will to us. Includes us with the rest of his family. I think it is in chapter 3 of Ephesians. It talks about of whom the whole family, talking about God, the whole family of God is in heaven and earth is named after, includes with the rest of family. We have an inheritance. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. you see more in there? From just 1 to 14. I don't know, can you all read those or not? But if we would want to, okay, now let's match these. Which of these are synonyms? Which mean the same? We'd fall flat. None of those match. But the sad thing is, many people that have been endeavoring to walk with the Lord, I believe truly are Christians, feel more of this than they feel of this side. Not everyone, maybe just a few. But I talk with young Christians occasionally that they express more of this than they do this. And I think that's sad. It's part of the Christian experience, I know, of walking and growing. But it's God's heart, and it's not wrong to feel accepted, to feel chosen, even predestined. You've been chosen when God was forming the earth. I want Brother David. He's going to glorify my life sometime. That's my heart for him, every one of you. It's not that he has no choice in this at all, not at all. But his choice is even beginning of time. That's how much he wants you to feel this side, that was in his master blueprint. And then we hear remarks like, feel worthless. I'm not scolding that lady at all. I've been there too. I can identify. Listen to too much noise from the enemy, the accuser, the brethren. I feel worthless. I feel I'm a fake. So I know those things are very possible. People can be faking it. But my heart today, I think you are mature enough. You know that. That's not what we're talking about. Those are truly walking with the Lord or are attempting to walk with Him. This is the reality of their life here. How God sees it. How Christ sees it. We've been accepted. How it says, accepted in the Beloved. Raised up, seated with Christ in heavenly places. Sitting with Him in heavenly places. That's reality. I can claim that. Jesus wants me to claim that. No matter what kind of voices, what kind of feelings I'm feeling, I am in Christ. I think that's why Paul starts the book of Ephesians just like this. He starts it off right here, what all you have in Christ, who you are in Christ. First three chapters actually are setting the stage, are laying the foundation, a platform of, once we're on that platform, that's when Christian life can become a joy, and is a joy. We can go forward in a positive way. We'll have our times. I know we do. Peter talks about being in heaviness, but it says for a season. It shouldn't be that's who we are known by, that we're just known to be this always. But there's times we might feel this. I'm not denying that. We're flesh and blood. But in reality, what it looks from the top side down through Christ, when a young one, an old person, but I think especially we have youth, we've been taught, it's such a beautiful thing when they come to their parents and says that they're feeling this, you know, this guilt, and they want to be delivered, and they have their repentance and prayer, and they truly break through. From God's view, what He sees is this. And He wants us to abide in that. His heart for us would be to abide in that. Now, I'm not scolding you if you are struggling with that, because I had the same struggles growing up as a young Christian. But I can also identify, I can testify to times when this just overwhelmed me with some of these, and one was just the Abba Father coming out. Puts a lot of things to rest when we have that assurance, Abba Father. Yeah, okay, I don't know that I'll have a whole lot more, except I'd just like to read this. We could go through here and just break it down, but I'm just going to read it again. But I'd like to personalize it this time. I might just pick on one of you, use a name here. There's Matt. You're solid in Christ. I don't think you'll be blown away. You can just take this as more promises. But we'll just take Matt's name for example. But we can each do this as the Lord is speaking through Ephesians 1 here. This is for us personally. let's read this in that context. We'll use Brother Matt's name as an example. But you can put your name in here too. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to Matt, which is at, is it Beach Lane down there? And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to Matt and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed Matt with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen Matt in him before the foundation of the world, that Matt should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated Matt unto the adoption of the children of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made Matt accepted in the beloved, in whom Matt has redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward Matt in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto Matt the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one, Matt in Christ, both which are in heaven and I guess all the mats on earth, even in him, in whom also Matt has obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that Matt should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom Matt also trusted after that Matt heard the word of truth, the gospel of Matt's salvation, in whom also after that Matt believed, Matt was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Can you see your name all over that place? Which is the earnest of Matt's inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Could it just inspire you? If you're just kind of feeling a dry spell in your life, read Ephesians 1, the first half at least. Read it many times. Just read it every day if you need to, a couple times a day. But just see what it does in your life. The water of the word washes us. I know it does. And just start grasping that. Start believing it in a deeper way. This is actually how God the Father sees you in Christ. As you're walking with Christ, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're one of his own. That's how he sees it. He sees when you fall. He does. But his heart would be that you just repent, quick, come back to him, and you just abide in that. Just allow yourself to be loved. Like this old lady, couldn't hardly move around anymore. I think she was asked what she does. You know, she might pray a bit, but then sometimes she just sits there and lets the Lord love her. I just sit here and let the Lord love me. That's nothing wrong with that. You can't do anything else. Just sit there, rest, and let the Lord love you. May God bless you.